Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
We ain't prepared a goddamn thing.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Stand in the place where you live. Oh, they broke up. Sorry. Hi, this is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to...
Luke and Carrie's...
Bad Rapport.
Chair moving edition.
And first episode standing.
Yes.
The date is October 5th, 2011.
And
episode number...
50!
50! We's over the hill.
Yeah. So, you know, because it's episode 50 and it's such an important monumental number, we put absolutely zero preparation into this show.
None!
None whatsoever. I have a vague idea of maybe some of the music we'll play.
Okay, we put next to no preparation, not zero.
Yeah.
Just, we're like 5% of the usual.
Yeah, I didn't make an outline. I did print up the comments. Carrie had prepared something that she emailed.
Yeah.
And we just went and grabbed some stupid news stories, some of which were emailed to us, some of which we just found, just so that we have something to read later for News of the Stupid, so...
But with no jokes.
Yeah, we'll just riff it.
And by we mean Luke will riff it.
Yeah. So, this is the part where Carrie tells us what she's been up to lately.
Yeah, okay, so I'm pregnant still. I felt a couple of kicks so far that, I mean, I feel a lot of stuff going on down there, but it's kind of hard to say, oh, that's a kick versus that's my uterus stretching and making me have little pains. So, but there's been two occasions where it was for sure a kick, a very light kick, because the fetus is very small. I'm officially, by the way they calculated, I'm officially 4 months along today.
Yay!
And by the way, they will probably induce me at a certain point in my pregnancy. I may be giving birth exactly 5 months from now.
Wow.
So, March 5th.
So you'll be able to go to MarsCon is what you're saying.
Oh, totally. Yes. That's totally going to happen.
Because we need to keep our priorities straight in this scary time of economic upheaval and Republican debates.
I'm sure, you know, I'll feel totally up to it. I mean, and don't even give me any comments about Moonbeam, because A, she was going to not a convention that happens once a year, but a wedding, and B, she was a whole 2 weeks out from her giving birth, as opposed to if I would be, you know, 1 week out. Ish.
Yes.
Or not even. So anyways, yeah, we'll see. There's a very small window in there where I, you know, could decide to get up and go to MarsCon, but if like the baby's late enough that it's healthy and not a preemie, but early enough that I can recover, it's pretty unlikely though.
Yeah.
So anyways, in other news, and this probably won't mean anything to Luke, but certain people will know what this means. I had my most recent hemoglobin A1C blood test drawn on Monday, and it was 5.0% blood sugar for the 2 to 3 month time span. Luke, just to give you a frame of reference, Josh, who had had a hemoglobin A1C done on two occasions just as part of my workplace's litany of tests that they offer once a year to employees and spouses. So even though he's not diabetic, Josh has had two hemoglobin A1Cs. The one he had last year was 5.1, and the one he had the year before that was 5.3. And the one I just had was 5.0, less than a non-diabetic, a complete total non-diabetic. So that's awesome.
So you win.
Yeah. So I guess the control is going pretty good, relatively speaking, as I itch my skin because my blood sugar is probably high. And I went to conception with you, which yes. I guess we'll save for later and talk about after a song or something. I don't know.
We could.
Well, no. Well, I'll chime in when you talk about it.
All right.
And maybe you'll talk about Archon after a song or something. Maybe that makes more sense.
Perhaps.
You like these unplanned shows, don't you?
Well,
audience.
Yeah, it's like I had some errands that I had to run that, you know, to be quite frankly, I probably should have run them on, you know, Monday or Tuesday, but I didn't. And
you procrastinated.
Yes, I just, after Archon, I just felt like chilling and watching TV and petting a kitty. So
We could play I'm Gonna Procrastinate by Rob Balder.
Maybe.
We don't play very much Balder.
Well, I'll write that on the board as one of our potential music candidates.
Okay. As Luke ducks behind the mic, and I'm here left by myself. Remember that scene in Scanners where the guy's head exploded?
Anyway, so what else of things have happened to you?
I had a weird dream. Do you want me to bring that up later or now?
Well, why don't we bring that up later after
okay.
a song?
So I'll read about my weird dream later. I officially canceled out on going to Belgium with the choir, which sucks. They were going to go in July 2012, and I was going to go, and Josh was going to go, and then, you know, beforehand or afterwards, we were going to, you know, have a stop-off in the UK and meet the Flat 29 lads if they had time, or as many of them that had time, and it possibly would have included a day trip to Paris. And instead, I'll have a baby at my boob. So that figures into the dream later, okay. Knowing that information. I haven't had a terrifically exciting 2 weeks overall. At least nothing I can talk about here. So it's fairly uneventful. And I'm talking with accentuated consonants. Because
well,
I can.
My 2 weeks basically were, I you know, as Carrie mentioned, I performed at Conception and at Geek Easy.
Come over here more.
Okay. So I guess we'll save the full con wrap up for another segment so that we can divide this stuff up.
So that we can pretend to have content?
Yeah, pretty much. On Sunday, the 25th, that was me and Sarah's first wedding anniversary. And so we, you know, sort of played it by ear that day, too. Our original plan was we were going to drive out to... the first plan was we were going to go get Indian food dinner at Marigold and then go see Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind.
Yeah.
And then that plan changed as we started driving around, and then it started raining for a while, and then it's, you know, because it started raining, we're like, well, we can't do anything outdoors now. What should we do? And I tried to think of a place, you know, in that general direction that was indoors, and I thought, oh, I haven't been to the Water Tower Place shopping center in forever. Let's go there. So we started heading over there, and, you know, Sarah found a place to park, and it actually was near where she works, so I got to see the building where she works. And then we kept walking towards, you know, the Water Tower Place mall thing, you know, got over by Michigan, you know, Avenue there, and she looks over and she sees, like, this limestone structure. And she's like, that's really weird that they built this limestone old-timey building in the middle of all this stuff. And I'm like, no, baby, that's the water tower. You remember that Chicago fire? It's the only thing that survived the Chicago fire was this water tower and the building next
to
it.
That's awesome.
Because they were made of limestone. That's why they call it Water Tower Place, is because of this building.
It's kind of the other way around. They didn't build it in the middle of all this other stuff.
Yeah. So that kind of, you know, inadvertently led us to, well, let's go grab one of those double-decker tour buses, uh-huh, and then have it take us around the city, and the tour guide can tell us all this interesting factual information about the city of Chicago, you know, some of which I knew and some of which I didn't. So that's what we ended up doing. Mm-hmm. They kind of detoured. They didn't take us all the way down by Soldier Field in the museum because there was the Bears-Packers game that day and they wanted to avoid all that shit.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then we went over. But by the time we got done with that, we realized that there was no way we could get to Marigold and still get to Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind. So we just went to Marigold and ate there. It was very good. And then we went back to the hotel so that we could, you know, but first we stopped and got some, like, total comfort snack food stuff, which we don't do too often anymore because of dieting.
Yeah.
But it's our anniversary, so screw it. So I ate Ruffles with cheese dip, and she got those little mini Entenmann chocolate donuts.
Reminds me of my birthday party when I had nacho cheese Doritos with cheese dip.
So we decided to curl up and watch... you know, one of Carrie's favorite romantic comedies, Green Lantern. So,
oh God,
because it was the only summer movie that Sarah missed, and you know she wanted to see it. So, you know, so we basically had a room movie thing. Oh, we stayed at the Intercontinental because I had done a caricature gig for a party for them for bartering on Craigslist I was only supposed to be one hotel room nights, but they gave me two.
Uh-huh.
So we actually ended up staying there the night before after the Geekeasy thing, and then the following night of our actual anniversary, and then we got free breakfasts, and then she went to work. So, so that was the anniversary, and then there was Archon, and now I'm recording a podcast. Yeah. So,
I forgot to mention about my pregnancy that I've spent like a whole week or two feeling more comfortable with the being bigger thing. But that's probably because I haven't gained any weight in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So, no wonder. But, yeah, I'm a little more comfortable in my own skin for now. We'll see how long that lasts. But I still don't feel pregnant, and I'm waiting for that to kick in. I still just feel bigger. I know that has nothing to do with your anniversary, but...
Well, it's okay. pregnant women tend to get all, you know... demanding and stuff. So for you, it's just kind of like, you know, everyday life.
Yeah. What's your point?
I have no point. Anyway, let's
throw a song in here.
Okay, let's throw a song or a track of some kind here. Here is "I'm Gonna Procrastinate" by Rob Boulder. Hey.
People say to me, "Shoebox."
You're not Shoebox.
People say to me, "Balder, you're in the funk now. Will you write any new songs or just sit there like a lump now? Fumpers must be reliable, like Max or Mitsubishi's." So I replied to the mailing list and told them to lick my feces. Sorry, it was on the backing track. I wanted to change it. Such a hassle. All my sorry life I've used chicanery and slyness to avoid any real work and get by with a C-. I still want the wealth and fame and to make the front page headlines. But to be myself, I must maintain my disregard for deadlines. Always take the easy choices, though I always pay for them. Got the discipline of Robert Downey, work ethic of a tapeworm. I once had to give CPR and put it off until tomorrow. Yeah, usually I phone things in if I can find a phone to borrow. I'm gonna procrastinate, there's nothing you can do about it. It's gonna be so late, you're gonna wonder if I'm even still a member. Did I remember? Did I give up on this thing I helped create? Yeah, I think it's freaking great. I'm gonna procrastinate. I'm gonna procrastinate. I should get caught up on things they say, it's a no-brainer. So I did my 04 tax returns and I learned the Macarena. Mr. Green assigned the Iliad in 84, well, guess what, I finally read it. Maybe he's alive at Phoenix at my book report, I can still get partial credit. What will it get me, this absence of persistence? Maybe someday on my deathbed I'll review my whole existence. all the projects I haven't done and all my screw-ups in it. But as it's flashing before my eyes, I'll do it all at the last minute. I'm gonna procrastinate. There's nothing you can say about it. You'll need to investigate. When's the last time Old Unfaithful has erupted? Was he abducted? Can we get a real guy or is it too late? Well, I know I'm tempting fate. Can't wait until the day the giant corporations say we love whatever you call what you do. On you we hereby bestow a movie and a TV show with an extra million just for being you. Other small take two, ask me where the hell that song I promised to produce is. I'll completely evaporate like I'm made out of excuses. Tom will fill up my slot for me, or just get one of the new guys. And when I'm finally out of slack, I'll rip off one of you guys. I'm gonna procrastinate, there's nothing you can do about it. No, I'm recriminating, I'll be laughing when the fat cats come to take me and elevate me to the lofty heights of stardom. But until then, I will be the biggest fake you ever saw. With some keys that I don't play on, two comics I don't draw. Hypertensive bloodstream full of Pez and Mountain Dew. Cause I swear to God I'm writing this the night before it's due. I'm gonna procrastinate. I'm gonna procrastinate. I'm gonna procrastinate. I'm gonna procrastinate.
Okay, that's good. We'll just cut in the end joke.
Thank All you, Rob, for your contribution.
Yes, Rob.
I forgot to mention I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on my Android phone. Have you played the one on the Android yet?
Yes, I haven't beaten it, but that's just because I'm a busy guy.
I beat it, and I'm not sure if that's because it's shorter than the iPad version, or if it's just easy because I've been through it before. I don't know, but I beat it.
I think I stopped somewhere on the water nighttime levels or something.
Yeah, so I'm working on getting all the plants purchased and then going through and beating it again and getting all the achievements. I think it's just one of those games that's just going to keep popping up, probably.
I'm wondering when they're going to make a sequel. I mean, because...
Sequel. Cause Are they going to make a sequel?
Well, I mean, it's just the law of the way business works these days. If something is
most,
popular...
Yeah, most successful games it's do like, come out with a sequel.
It's like, you know, it's like they could try to continue upgrading the current version, or they could just come out with, you know, version 2 of the game, where you start over and there's all kinds of new plants. So, anyway, you have a thing you want to read about a dream you had.
This might be kind of disturbing, but I'm not sure if Dan listens to our show anymore anyways. The funny thing is that as part of, like, my wrapping up the last loose end of the Belgium trip, I emailed the lads to tell them, hey, thanks for humoring me, but I won't be coming out there after all. And it turned out that I did not... email Daniel Pate, I emailed Daniel Nance the first time around. Oops. So that would explain why Daniel Pate never answered me.
Ah.
Because he never fucking got it. I wrote this on Tuesday, September 27th about a dream I had had Monday night Tuesday morning. In my silly flat 29 dream... In my dream last night, I was visiting Dan Pate at his big house in England. He lived with his mom, dad, and brother. I don't really remember talking to his dad or brother, but his mom was funny because she had an American Southern accent, but she still said the British word for things so much that sometimes I couldn't understand her. Example, lift instead of elevator or flat instead of apartment. Other than lots of chatting and hanging out with Dan, also in the house was a pink cat. The head and tail were black and white tabby pattern, but the cat was otherwise pink. I fell in love with the cat and decided I wanted to adopt it, but I wasn't sure how I was going to get it to the United States. Towards the end of our visit, things morphed, and suddenly it was Dan visiting me at some random apartment in Chicagoland rather than me visiting him in the UK. He was wrapping up his visit quickly because he was paying it out of feelings of obligation, not because he wanted to be there. Rich was in the basement and he didn't talk to me much. I found out that neither of them were planning to visit Luke because Luke supposedly wrote a book wherein he dissed Flat 29. I asked if they would be back during their visit to the USA, and they said probably not. Then I noticed in my driveway they had parked a giant RV in which they had rented, must be inspired by the movie Paul, which adequately explained why they would not be back. They were going on a road trip. They left, but then they did come back. Don't ask me why Charlie wasn't there, because I wondered that myself in the dream. They were traveling with a group of about a dozen friends, many of whom were random Americans. I asked them where they were going on their road trip, and they said they didn't know yet. I said, that's the best kind of road trip, but then I quickly suggested Niagara Falls, since that's only a two-day drive from Chicagoland, one day if you're sufficiently nuts, and they sounded like they would do that. I reminded them to bring their passports, because the Canadian side of the falls is better. That's all I can remember of my silly Flat 29 dream. The end.
Yay!
So maybe we should play a Flat 29 song.
If you want.
We have to play something with a woman in it somewhere.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, I bought the book on CD version of Bossy Pants by Tina Fey, which is the unabridged version, so it's like, you know, 5.5 hours long.
You should and let me borrow it.
I was hoping to have gotten through it so I could have picked an excerpt from this to play on the show so we had our female content, but I only got, like, through the first two discs.
Yes.
I mean, I've already read the book, but it's like I was looking for something that audio. I also have Patton Oswalt's Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, which I already listened to on MP3. But as a collector, I want to have all of Patton's, you know, stuff on CD too. So
you collect physical media.
Yes. So yeah,
that's cute.
I also found this. That was Comedy Central just released a Lewis Black concert from 1990. So it's like, you know, he was 40 years old when he started doing stand-up. I mean, here, look at this picture of him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, which gives me, it's like him and like guys like Rodney Dangerfield. That gives me hope when I get down about how I'm 37 years old and I've been doing this for 15 years and I haven't been discovered or made it big yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, look at Lewis Black, look at Rodney Dangerfield. You know, they were, you know, it was quite late in life that they started doing their thing and then made it big. So, you know. Anyway, I picked up another CD too, besides Patton's new album, which we'll play a track from that later at some point. I got Seth MacFarlane's album, which was, you know, overall, I mean, good, high quality music. It's old timey kind of swing songs like he does, you know.
Yeah.
Apparently the microphone he recorded this album with was Frank Sinatra's old microphone.
Wow.
So there's nothing on it is really funny, you know, but he did do a really awesome cover version of the song Sadder But Wiser from Music Man. Do you remember Music Man at all?
Do I remember it? I was in it.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, you know, the sadder but wiser girl for me.
It was
you know,
one
that
of my
song.
Favorite musicals. Yeah, I know every song
okay.
in that musical.
So he took that song and turned it into like an up-tempo jazz number. So it's really freaking awesome. So I'm going to play that on this episode,
sweet.
Too. So I figured this would be, you know, Luke recaps the conventions since the last time. I'll try not to make it, you know, too much exactly like, you know, the Fump cast for those of you who listen to both. Because I kind of feel...
Yeah, because I listened to it already.
Yeah. So, Conception was a small convention.
That's an understatement.
Well, you know, and I don't say small in the sense like they were deceiving me or anything. I mean, they
yeah.
told me going into this is a convention we do out of the college. It gets about 250 people.
Well, it's literally the smallest convention I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And I've been to some pretty small ones.
I've been to smaller. I went to one in Stevens Point, Wisconsin that was literally like a 6-hour convention or something. It's or maybe it was 8. I don't know, but it started at like 10 a.m. and it lasted until, I don't know, sometime in the afternoon, you know, and I actually performed at it. So
yeah.
That was like the, you know, and that's even a different category from just, you know, small shows where basically I do a show and nobody shows up. Like the time I drove, I know I had other reasons for the trip, but I drove all the way out to Binghamton, New York to perform there and only six people showed up to see my show. And that was like when that snowstorm happened, and somebody broke in to my Neon right when I left Madison and stole a bunch of shit out of my car, stole my car stereo, stole Stephanie's car stereo. You know, basically somebody knew how to break into Neons. So it wasn't until I got all the way, because I packed up my car the night before with my big, I used to have this big heavy thing full of costumes I'd take with me everywhere, like all the cloth on hangers costumes. And so they were all laying on top of everything in the trunk. And so when I got up to leave to go on this trip, I didn't even bother to look at anything because everything seemed fine. It wasn't until I got to a hotel somewhere in the middle of New York State that I had to stay at because literally the snow, the highways were, you know, snowed off.
Impassable,
exactly. And then I go to open the trunk to get out my suitcase and all of the costumes were gone.
Yeah.
And I kind of freaked out and threw a fit. Stephanie basically typed up a thing on the computer, printed it up, and stuck it outside for our neighbors to read, basically saying, you know, look, thief who took all this stuff, you know, fine, you got my car stereo and you got this and that, but that clothing you stole was custom-made costumes that are impossible to replace, you know, I don't even know why you would take something like that, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And then one of the managers knocked on the door and said, are you talking about a thing with, you know, something that looks like Halloween costumes? And she's like, yes. And apparently this person, like, you know, took it out of my trunk, took it somewhere down to another parking lot, and then saw what it was and then just left it there. So it was, like, sitting somewhere else in the parking facility.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the point is, I went through all that stress. I went, you know, I was forced to stay at this place and spend more money than I wanted to, get all the way out. You know, I missed being on the radio. I was supposed to go on the Mad Trivia Party, and I didn't get to. Got all the way to Binghamton, New York after this two-day trek, and six people showed up for my show. You know, I thought the Mad Trivia guys were going to, like, hype my show and promote it and do all that stuff, and, like, nobody fucking knew I was there. And, in fact, one of the guys who was there worked for the school paper and wrote an article about how much they enjoyed my show, and he put the headline in the article, you know, students miss awesome performance by the great Luke Ski.
Yeah.
And then had, like, a picture of me and wrote all about it, so... Anyway, that's just a side note to pad this episode for more content. I went into this con knowing it was going to be small. I completely missed Friday. I was intending to be there Friday to set up the table and just sit there and sell merch and then running errands and doing other stuff, basically trying to finish prepping out my bag to be my new... Because the whole thing with my bag getting stolen, and I have the cloth bag for caricatures, I basically wanted to have... I wanted an identical set of caricature-related making items in both the cloth bag and in the roller bag,
mm-hmm.
so that I can, you know, swap them out as I need them. So that basically when I go to caricature gigs, I can have the lighter cloth bag with just the caricature stuff, and when I go to cons, I can have the heavy bag with all the usual artillery I need for performing and for caricatures, you know, and start, you know, replacing other things that got stolen. So... You know, it cost me some money and took me some time, but I finally have a bare minimum amount of important stuff in that bag, and that's kind of what I did on Friday. That made me basically got to the con in enough time to set up my merch table and then throw a blanket over it. There was a guy there from a podcast that called Tales from the Con Floor, and one of the guys running the con said, "Oh, you should go be interviewed for his podcast." So. I did that, talked to him for about, I think, 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I should have by now gone to his website to check to see if he posted it.
Download the episode.
Yeah. So just Google that, I guess, Tales from the Con Floor. Actually, do I have his card right here? I can give people an exact thingamabobbidi-doobidi-dabba-dabba-da. Nope. 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 Nope.
You dropped one.
I dropped one? Oh, that was just a... Oh. All right, so it's not there. Anyway, just the host's first name was Tony. I remember that, and it's called Tales from the Con Floor. So go Google that and see if you see an episode with me. You can listen to me talk about convention experiences and other stuff that I'm usually plugging. So
I was there at your con. Oh, you didn't get to the part where I showed up.
Well, yeah, basically because they had considered me a guest of honor. I asked them if they could get me a hotel room for Friday night because. I knew I wasn't going to be there on Sunday because of Geek Easy and my anniversary. So I just said, well, can you give me a hotel room for one night so I don't have to drive all the way back home and stuff? And they said, sure. So, you know, stayed at the – actually, it was the DoubleTree where the very last To Be Continued convention happened.
Really?
Do you remember that one where a whole bunch of weird shit went down and some of the guests canceled and there was drama? And then
and no con suite?
And, yeah. And because of that drama, some other, you know – it's like, you know, because of the group running the convention, that clique of Chicago fanish people, you know, somebody fucked up something and you know, some guests didn't show up because they were, you know, upset about something or said something negative about the con, which caused a different group clique of fanish people in Chicago to try to ruin their convention by spreading a bunch of rumors, including one person that Carrie and I know who started trying to, like, say a bunch of comments on my behalf about how bad their con was. And I was like, don't ever speak for me in public again. I'm performing at this con. I know these people. You don't have the right to say that shit like you represent me and you don't.
Yeah.
So anyway, because of all that shit, that con, you know, ended up losing half of its space because the hotel basically said, well, according to, you know, this and that and these people, you're only going to get half the attendance that you were supposed to get, so we're taking away half of your convention space. So right as the con was starting, they had to, like, figure out where, you know, they basically had to give up on the con suite. They had to put, like, the art show in the dealer's room in the same room and to cram everyone in. And basically it ended up being pretty much the reason why that con, you know, didn't continue after that.
Yeah.
Ironically, to be continued. So that was the... So walking in here, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this place.
I just remember that DoubleTree has really comfortable beds.
Yeah, it's got the comfy beds.
And they give you cookies.
Yeah, they gave me a cookie. I got to eat a cookie.
They still do that, apparently.
Luke talks about conventions experiences. I got to eat a cookie! Yay! Anyway, got up the next...
I was swimming towards pie.
Next day went to the con, set up, everything was hunky-dory, Carrie and Josh showed up, Josh did some gaming, Carrie did some walking around.
I explored the College of DuPage campus a little bit, mostly the health building, and got to see some funky displays of, like, there was one room where there was a... you know, life-size skeleton dressed up in a patriotic outfit saluting with, like, a flag, and behind it was, like, a fake hospital room. Mm-hmm. And you're looking in this window at this fake hospital room and stuff. So there's a lot of interesting things to look at. They seem to be a very well-off college.
Yeah. They have a big amphitheater there, and that's where occasionally Weird Al will perform when he's on tour.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me at one point, and I know I said this in the Fumpcast, but that is where I was able, with the help of Weird Al, to propose to my first wife, Stephanie. So I'm performing at the school where I proposed to Stephanie, doing a show with Carrie on the weekend of my anniversary with Sarah. So
I should say, doing a show with my ex-girlfriend on the weekend of my anniversary with my current wife.
At the place where I proposed to my first wife.
Yes.
Yes. So,
because when you just say Carrie and, you know, half the people don't know I'm your ex-girlfriend.
I don't know. I think we've made that abundantly clear throughout the history of this podcast.
And a pony.
Anyway, So we did, I had two shows, and I wanted to do my best to give them good shows, and so I tried to make it a mix of greatest hits and stuff from the new album, and Carrie was kind enough to show up and perform. We worked in a couple of Carrie songs into the sets.
Yeah.
And,
I'm gonna have to test my blood sugar in, like, 5 minutes, so okay. Do you wanna do the Archon wrap-up after News of the Stupid?
Maybe.
For the sake of having something to put in that segment.
Well, let's see. Well, anyway, just overall, the point is, you know, I did two shows, two different sets. Carrie was there. We performed. The first one seemed to have the first show seemed to have a bigger audience than the second show. They were at 1 p.m. and at 6 p.m. trying to time them with when people were having supposed breaks from gaming. And
they like assured you the second show would be bigger, and then it was smaller.
Yeah.
But, like, the first show had at most a dozen audience members.
Yeah.
It sounded like more because the space is nice and echoey when they applauded. But
yeah.
And then at most, at the peak, you know, the second show maybe had 7 audience members.
Yeah.
And that's and for both shows, that includes Josh.
Yeah. So, you know, those who saw it seem to, you know, be appreciative of it. And I'd have to say, I did make a lot more money there than I was expecting to.
Mostly due to one guy who decided to buy your entire collection.
Yeah, because I have, with the whole Lukeski Complete deal in its current incarnation is $100 to get everything of mine. So you have the complete Lukeski library. Yeah,
and this guy hadn't bought anything since Carpe Dementia was the most recent album of yours he actually managed to buy, and then he kept meaning to buy everything since.
So, so he's like, well, every year at Gen Con, I know you're there, and I keep meaning to buy it, but then I never do. So he basically has done that every year for the past 12 years. He's like, oh, I should go buy it. Oh, I guess I won't. So, you know.
Like, because he runs out of money at Gen Con.
But at this con, there was, not much of a dealer's room, so, He spent $100 on me, so
I considered buying Pocky until I realized one of the guys helping to sell Pocky had giant holes in his shorts, like near his crotch area. Did you see that guy?
No, I didn't.
Like, what the hell are you doing? Get some goddamn new shorts.
So, Geek Easy, happened, and that was pretty cool. Ken and Jared and Breakman Z came out for the show.
Breakman Z being a far away person.
Yes.
He traveled from afar.
Yeah. He also came out because the night before, They Might Be Giants and Jonathan Colton performed.
Yes.
And so they went to see that, too.
Which we both missed.
Yeah. But yeah, I got to meet Doug Walker, the Nostalgia Critic. He's a really super nice guy.
You not only met him, didn't you, like, do things with
him? Well, we watched the live-action Masters of the Universe movie starring Dolph Lundgren, and we live-riffed it, me and him, and then this other guy named Justin, who's a good friend of Aaron, who put it together. So here's the awesomest riff that happened was there's this one part in the movie where there's a big battle taking place inside the store, and there's this mechanical device that's, kind of a cylinder with a bunch of, computer keys on it and a bunch of pointy things coming out. It's, it's like the thing that, Captain Selmore from Episode 8 would, it's the Iron Whirligig. It looks like that, in convenient carryable form. So, Skeletor's people are fighting He-Man's people from inside this store, and there's laser blasts and there's stuff going on. Then meanwhile, Courtney Cox, who's in the film, playing the girl, not Tila, just the random Earth girl.
Token female.
Yeah, whose parents had died in a plane crash like a year or two earlier, looks out the back window of the shop to see her mother, who is dead, standing like, way up away. And she's like, Mom! And then she goes out there and the mother says, it's like, Mom, how can you? And actually, it's Evil Lynn, one of Skeletor's, minions, the witch, in disguise, saying, like, I can't explain why I'm alive, but right now I need you to go get the, doodad a thingamabob and bring it to me. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's what she does. So during the first part where she's like, Mom, both me and Doug are doing the lines from Spaceballs, when Princess Vespa sees King Roland outside of Yogurt's thing, it's like, yes, of course, it's me, sir. I guarantee it. Would I lie? We kind of both were doing that. And then, so she goes back in, she gets the device, she comes back out, hands it to her mom, gives her a hug, and then during the hug, she's like, oh, thank you very much, or whatever the fuck. And then she pulls back to see it's not her mom, it's actually Eva Lynn. At that point, me and Doug, exactly the same time, both said, fooled you! And the whole crowd went nuts. I turned and, he high-fived me. And then I got on the mic and said, and then Luke and Doug were best friends forever. And then he leaned over and put his head on my shoulder. So, that was the best riff of the night, just because he and I both, super perfect timing. There's no way we could have planned timing like that.
Is that a line from Spaceballs?
Yeah, that's the line.
I need to watch that again.
Yeah,
recently watched Airplane again.
Oh, yeah. So that was pretty awesome. I mean, there were tons of other great riffs, but for me to sit here and try to remember them all is just, would be, fruitless. But each of the three of us got some really good ones in,
Oh, wait, who's the third person?
His name is Justin. I don't think he's...
he's basically known in that area of Chicago locally for working at, like, there's some really unique hot dog stand that has, like, custom...
Hot dogs?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I've heard of hot dogs.
Okay, so his name is Justin, and he works there as a wait person, or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
He and I are friends on Facebook now, and I... But, you know...
He's known for his work and crafting hot dogs at hot dogs.
Something like that, yeah. So, yeah, so, you know, that happened. There was a burlesque show that was very short. It was, like, two really short songs. One was Mario-related, and another one that was Lord of the Rings-related. And, you know, it was all right. And then I went up and did my... I started to do my set, and, you know, we had sound-checked earlier. Oh, I forgot to mention that. I had sound-checked earlier by like, making sure the audio-video worked, and Doug was in the room by then. So once the audio and the video and the mic were working... I was, like, having Grease Wars showing, and then, like, all right, well, now that everything's working, let me actually run a song. So I quickly switched over to Marvel Poppins. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't in my set originally, but I did Marvel Poppins there just for Doug and the few people in the room. And, like, Doug and they all went nuts for it. They fucking loved it and thought it was great. And then I'm like, yeah, well, I wasn't really planning on doing that in my set. And they're like, no, you gotta do that in your set. So I worked it into my set later, because I was under the impression that... I know you want to get going here, so... I'll be quick.
It's okay.
I was under the impression that because it's DJ Aaron Ackerson putting this thing together, that my performance wasn't really going to be a thing where people were sitting and looking at me. I thought it was just going to be like, you know, dance party rave, and that mm-hmm. I happen to be the guy performing the music that they're all dancing to and nobody's really paying close attention. So because of that, my set list was I planned to just do all the up-tempo hip-hop stuff that was, you know, geek-related. Because I figured, well, no one's going to be paying attention to what I'm doing anyway. And, you know, there'll be nifty video on the screen while they all dance. Mm-hmm. But it turns out I was wrong. It was, in fact, going to be a show where people were sitting there watching me perform. You know, so that was kind of a last minute, you know, didn't really expect that. But what the hell, it's still a perfectly valid set of music to perform. Mm-hmm. the downside is... So we get set up, you know, I'm all queued up for you know, Sitting Like a Hobbit. I hit play. It's because of it's still set up from when I performed it the first time at Nerdapalooza. It has a little intro thing, the Funk Valley Presents, the Great Luke Ski, and then the video starts. Right as the video starts, a woman that I never saw before, some young chick, just kind of stands up, drunk out of her mind. She's like, yeah, rap music, I love rap music. And then, you know... the song starts where I'm supposed to be like, you know, look, if you had one ring, but yeah, I know this song. She comes up on stage, tries to take the microphone away from me. I don't give it to her. And she's like, yeah, I can do this. And I start doing the first verse of Sitting Like a Hobbit. And she's standing next to me, just, you know, you know, like whatever the fuck she's saying in drunk ease. And I'm like...
Drunkies.
You know, and standing immediately right behind me are, like, you know, the DJ and Aaron and another dude, and I look over at them, and what I'm trying to say to them psychically with my look is, because I look at them, and they're just kind of like, oh, hey, it's wacky, geeky, fun night, and I'm trying to, like, as I am making lyrics come out of my mouth and blah, 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 saying the lyrics in my mind, I'm like, will you get her the fuck off the stage? It's hard to communicate that with just your eyes while you're in the middle of doing your song.
Yeah.
And I think one of them came out and kind of shooed her off stage, but I just kind of felt like, you know, it's like fucking Daffy Duck in Robin Hood Daffy. You just one little, it's like, trip, 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 trip. I mean, I didn't fuck up any of the lyrics, but my mojo got tripped up because I was all ready to fucking rock this place. And then it's like, where the fuck were you during the burlesque show? Where the fuck were you during the riffing part? You know, you didn't interrupt any of their shit. Why did you interrupt my shit?
Yeah.
It's in that kind of shit is the things that make me snap and want to start fucking murdering people.
Yeah.
Because it's so rude and it's so impolite and okay. I don't take alcohol as a valid excuse.
My fetus doesn't take other people's alcohol as a valid excuse for you to yell.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I got through the set, and I got a lot of nice compliments after the show. I sold one item. I sold a copy of the DVD.
Well, luckily you got a stipend, didn't you?
Yeah, they paid me something, which was nice, because that helped make a student loan payment. So, between that and other monies I had made from caricature gigs from weeks earlier that I finally got paid for. So, I guess we'll put a song break in here, and then do news, and then I'll talk about Archon briefly. Alright, so here is a song of some kind, or a track of comedy. Here we go.
Gotta lose some goddamn weight once and for all. I'll never do it, but I'm gonna... Every album I do now, from now on, I'm just gonna go, I gotta lose some weight, man. I gotta... 10 albums from now, I'm gonna come out here in a Rascal scooter. I gotta lose some weight. This time I'm gonna do it. I knew I had to, I know I gotta do something because my 2-year-old daughter loves to do these little dance parties where I'll play music all through the house. And it's not like that kiddie stuff either. It's whatever I'm listening to. She loves it. Pixies and Beatles, doesn't matter. And she'll dance. She likes to does a little dance. And I'll go, yeah, dance party. And we'll start dancing. And she's a rocket. She can just dance forever. And I'm good for 90 seconds. I'll be like, yeah. And then I gotta go, just keep dancing, there you go. And I'll lean against the wall. It's almost like, I don't know if anyone remembers when Axl Rose came out on the VMAs a few years ago for the Guns N' Roses reunion. And Axl Rose was a slinky, you know, serpenty rock god. And then after kind of kicking everyone out of the band, he sort of gained the equivalent of Duff McKagan. Like he basically put on one of his other band members in weight equivalent, and he made the mistake, like, they had, like, his microphone was out in the middle of the stage, but he made the mistake of running from the edge of the stage all the way out to the center mic to start singing Welcome to the Jungle, remember that? And he ran way too fast, and he basically did, like, what I would do if I was doing, he comes running out going, like, yeah, Guns N' Roses, he's like, Welcome to the Jungle! But then I'll take my daughter to these, like, we go to this music together class in this place called Wallaby where she plays, and they'll play music and the kids will dance, and my daughter will dance hard for like 90 seconds, like, yay! And then she'll go and lean against the wall, like, not winded. She just thinks that's what dancing is. Dancing is you go like this, and then you go, I'm dancing, like, no, sweetie, that's. You can probably keep dancing. You're not sweating all of a sudden. And I bet your left arm doesn't hurt. And I bet you don't smell burnt toast. But the problem is, it's just the goddamn meetings to go lose weight. I was in Weight Watchers for a while. I went to Weight Watchers, and it's a great organization. But you know what? Carbs and sugar doesn't have a William S. Burroughs or a Keith Richards. We don't have all my alcoholic drug addict friends. Their meetings are awesome and dark and compelling. Yeah, I T-boned a school bus and I had to flee to Mexico. And then that's when I, like, wow. And all the Weight Watchers meetings were, well, number one, I had Doritos for breakfast again. And, but I decided to forgive myself and I put it in my points counter. And then I went to a friend's pool party and I said, damn it, I'm going to swim. And I got in the pool and it doesn't matter how I look. And I was very cool with myself, but they had pie. And I realized I subconsciously cut a huge slice of pie and left it beside the pool so I could swim up to it and take a bite every now and then. And I said, hey, I'm swimming towards pie. And hearing myself say that stuff really was like, I can't do this. This is horrible. I need one, there's got to be one dark, creepy Hubert Selby Jr. weight loss story. Like, yeah, I was living with this obese 13-year-old prostitute down in Juarez, and we ripped off a drugstore and used the money to buy 9 boxes of hard pretzels. Utz, not that Snyder shit for squares. And we binged out for about 5 days, and on the 6th morning I woke up, she was gone. And she'd stolen that stash of Ritz crackers I'd hid in the mattress. And that's when I looked in the mirror and told myself, it's time to start swimming away from pie.
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. University of New Mexico police are trying to determine who left a severed goat head on the porch of a fraternity house. KOB-TV reports that members of the Phi Gamma Delta fraternity found the head last week and reported it to authorities. Phi Gamma Delta President Javier Manriquez says that after he saw the head, he took a photo of it and threw it out. Manriquez says there was a note attached to the partially skinned goat head. He says the note had the word done written on it with a heart over the letter O. According to University of New Mexico police, the goat head looked like it was bought at a store. No arrests have been made.
So, you know, all these, you know, Greek fraternities, they're really Capricorn-y. Get it? It's a goat and stuff.
Massachusetts official who performed bra trick resigns. Abington, Massachusetts, the chairman of a Massachusetts school board has resigned days after performing a magic trick at a televised meeting that made it appear as if he had removed a fellow board member's bra. Russell Fitzgerald said he resigned from the Abington School Committee on Monday after a weekend of reflection. He tells the Enterprise of Brockton that fallout from the trick played a part in his decision. The meeting was on live TV and was met in the room with silence and embarrassment. Fitzgerald is an amateur magician who generally started meetings with a trick. Neither the subject of the September 27th bra trick nor his accomplice knew what was going to happen. Fitzgerald also noted he's been on the board 11 years and his term is almost up.
Awkward.
So, what better time than to make your career disappear? Abraca comedy! Hocus Laughus. I'm witty.
Pittsfield Township Police are looking for two people who stole a shopping cart filled with baby formula from Meijer in a Monday afternoon theft. A woman and a man walked into a store in Ann Arbor and filled the cart with the formula, according to police. The suspects then walked out of the store to a gray Mercedes and put all of the baby formula into the car's trunk. The total heist, 40 containers of baby formula worth $571, according to reports. Pittsfield Township police have investigated past incidents where shopping carts full of Budweiser beer and lobsters were stolen. Joke. Joke. Joke.
That's a formula for stupidness.
Your joke is a formula for stupid. Is that the name of this episode? Formula for stupidness?
Sure.
And finally, so here's this story. There's these two guys. One is named, Daniel Knox Houston, age 23. The other one, his name is Kevin Borbidge, age 22, from Nottingham. The duo changed their names to, and the first one here would be Daniel, changed his name to Emperor, Spider-Man, Gandalf, Wolverine, Skywalker, Optimus Prime, Goku, Sonic, Xavier, Ryu, Cloud, Superman, He-Man, Batman, Thrash. And the other guy, formerly known as Kelvin, is now named Baron, Venom, Balrog, Sabretooth, Vader, Megatron, Vegeta, Robotnik, Magneto, Bison, Sephiroth, Lex Luthor, Skeletor, Joker, Grind. They got their idea from their father, who is named
Malcolm, Peter, Braun, Telescope, Adrian, Blackpool, Rock, Stoat, Gobbler, John, Raw, Vegetable, Norman, Michael, Edward, Jupiter, Thomas, Moo, will keep a welcome in the...
William. Raindrops keep falling on my... Don't sleep in the subway. Smith.
Who was inspired by his grandfather, who was named...
Johann Gambleputty. Devon Alfred.
Kress Kremble, Fra Dicker Dingle, Dangle Dongle.
Dungle Burstein von Nackerthrasher.
I'll beg a hot of his Tagoon and sick.
Grandonotti Spell Tinkle.
Grenick. Grumblebeer.
Bottlebosser.
Gerdling Imbleisen.
Barnwagen Guten Abend.
Dirtburger. Brackwurstel.
Gespürt.
Mit Weimar Glubber Hunsfurt.
Kumbar Schum Danker. Kappnacht.
Mittel Rauker.
Of Ulm.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Formula for stupidness. Whee!
This has indeed been news of the stupid.
I've been busy. Get off my ass.
Busy cuddling kitties.
Yes. When you get a cuddly kitty in your leg, you know. Well, let me tell them. This is an important happy moment for me. So
I don't know if it's easy to explain without the visual, though.
Well, okay. The way I lay on the couch is I. You know, kind of, I'm sitting up facing forward, but I'm leaning to the right with my elbow on a pillow, which is on, you know, my left-hand side. And then on my right side, my pelvis and legs swing out onto the couch, and my legs kind of are bent at a 45-degree angle up against the back of the couch, so it creates a triangle.
So
you
just
know.
Imagine a Luke pretzel.
So just like, you know... You know, leg to my knee, leg to my foot, and then couch connecting it too. It's creating a little triangle there. So Chewy, our cat who passed away several months ago, every time I would sit on the couch like that, Chewy would climb into that little area, which I called my leg nook, and Chewy would curl up in my leg nook, you know, kind of popping out the top and putting her paws over my thigh so that she could sit there, and I would reach over and pet her on her head, and she loved it. So, you know, I've been kind of bummed out, you know, every time I sit on the couch and I look over.
And there's no kitty there's to no crawl kitty in there. Your leg nook.
Yeah. So the other day I was laying in that position, but I had a Snuggie over me. And Abby comes bounding up and she's running all over the place as she always does. And then she decided to kind of crawl up on me and, you know, kind of was initially just standing on my leg, but then tried to curl up and sit down. And because of a Snuggie being there, she kind of curled up into the leg nook a little bit with the Snuggie, you know, acting as a kind of a tent cover, you know, into that area. And I thought that was totally awesome, and I took a picture of it. So then, like, a day or two later, I was sitting in the position, no Snuggie this time, and without me having to try to prompt her at all, Abby crawled into the leg nook and sat in the same position that Chewy always used to sit in. And Sarah was over there, and I'm just like, look at the kitty! Because I'm trying not to move because I don't want her to get disturbed and jump away. And finally, Sarah looked over and she saw and she's like, oh, and I'm like, my heart is melting because I love a kitty who is in my leg nook. So that's happened to me.
Oh my God.
And it made me happy.
You're so manly.
So
the testosterone is just overflowing in this room.
Yes. So you're going to have a boy because of all the testosterone in this room.
Yes, that's why. The gender will be determined on something you or Ken says and not actual genetics.
Well, you hang around boys all the time. So, I figured for the sake of content for this block, I could talk about Drama Club.
What about Archon?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Archon. Right. Archon, well, you know, I don't know if there's a lot to say about Archon.
You did go.
I drove down there on Friday and set up my table. You know, went around, put up flyers on the few places I'm allowed to put flyers there now. Now they have these big pegboard things that they have set up in a few key locations. So instead of putting flyers everywhere, there's like, you know, 5 to 6 places to put flyers. So I did that, set up the table, and sat there on Friday, sold merch for about 4 hours, made, you know, a pretty decent chunk of money for it being Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I packed up, put everything away in the car again, went and picked up Sarah at the train station because she got done with work and then took the train from downtown Chicago out to near where we were and so that, you know, she could join me for the rest of the weekend. Saturday, I went and did my sound checky thingy for you know, my exhibition entry in the Masquerade. Sarah went to visit her brother, who he's doing much better. They moved him to a facility where he can do physical therapy. So he's awesome. he's gonna spend, you know, they actually moved him in on Friday, so he has like 60 days from then is how much his insurance will cover. So he's basically they're gonna be working him to get him as in as good a shape as they can over the next 60 days.
Yeah,
and you know he's able to talk. He actually asked Sarah something about her car, as in, like, you know, have you done this, you know, some kind of maintenance question.
Because he's Mr. Car Guy.
Well, you know, he wants to make sure, you know, Sarah's taken care of, because he cares about her and stuff. So, I mean, I unfortunately didn't get to see any of her family, but, you know, she did, and that's the more important thing. So, you know, sat there. Eventually, Sarah came back, and, you know,
God, that reminds me of something about my life I didn't even mention.
Okay, you want to interject it here?
My grandpa died. My other grandpa died.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention it. Doesn't look like I'm in service, which is the same weekend as Con on the Cob, because I already have a plane ticket to Con on the Cob, and my mom didn't seem like she would be mad, and, you know, my grandma, who had already divorced him long beforehand, also has died, and his wife has also died, so it's, you know, as long as my mom's not upset, I don't feel like, you know, I'm being a terrible person if I don't go. It would be very expensive to just randomly fit in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I went to my other grandpa's thing primarily to be there for my grandma, you know.
Yeah.
That was the big thing for that. So, last time I went to Minnesota on Memorial Day weekend was the last time I saw either of my grandfathers alive. So, you know, that kind of sucks. I don't know why I forgot to mention that.
Well, you know.
So I'm now grandpa-less, and I have just the one grandma still left.
And you talk to her fairly regularly, don't you?
Yes, I do. And she's a wonderful lady.
We'll be talking on the phone during your lunch break, and you'll be like, oh, wait, that's my grandma. I'm going to hang up on you now because you're not as important as she is. And then you hang up.
Yeah, I did that once, asshole.
I'm just kidding.
Me too.
You've done that a bunch of times. Well, you know what I mean. So,
happy. It's usually my mom that I hang up on you for, not my grandma.
So, yeah. Anyway, back to Archon. We put the table stuff away. I did my exhibition entry. They had a record 46 entries, their most ever. And they had me go last since, you know, they want someone strong to finish the show on. So, So I did Snoopy the Dog. I added a couple more pieces to it to make it more of a complete full-body costume. And right now Carrie is totally cuddling in Abby with a happy smile.
I'm holding her right next to my face.
Yeah, she's a good kitty. She likes cuddles and attention. Although, speaking of Snoopy, there's a Snoopy sitting on top of my computer speaker right now, and Abby will jump up and, like,
start... I gave you that Snoopy.
Yes, you did. Abby will jump up and just start biting at Snoopy's nose and stuff. And if the desk is clear, she'll sometimes grab Snoopy by his stomach, start carrying him, and jump off and, like, walk into the other room with Snoopy in her mouth, and then start, like, wrestling Snoopy and biting and attacking and stuff. I've gotten some pictures of her attacking Snoopy, but I haven't gotten a picture of her carrying him yet, and I want to snap one at some point.
That was Luke's present, not yours.
It's like cat versus dog. The struggle continues. So she's cute. Just a playful kitty.
Oh, she's a lover.
Yep. So,
she's a cuddly lover.
So, yeah, so after the Masquerade, we went and got some dinner at Applebee's, and then after that, I think we just kind of gave up and went to bed because we were old. but we did watch the last hour of Saturday Night Live, hosted by Melissa McCarthy. Have you seen Bridesmaids?
Twice.
Okay, Melissa McCarthy is the character, the kind of overweight one, who's awesome.
She's awesome!
So she hosted Saturday Night Live, and she fucking dominated that show. She fucking ruled it.
Oh god, I need to see that.
You could probably watch it on your Roku or something, but yeah, she fucking rocked that show. So,
She's incredible. fucking incredible.
She won the Emmy for Best Actress for a sitcom this year because she's on Mike and Molly, that show on CBS. So
she should get a fucking Academy Award. She should get Best Supporting Actress. She's so fucking amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, that might happen. I mean, you never know because
it is a comedy. I mean, comedies aren't smiled upon.
I mean, Kevin Kline won for A Fish Called Wanda. You know?
Yeah, and that was how many years ago?
Well, you know, it happens. I mean, friggin', I think his name is David Paymer, won for Mr. Saturday Night, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, yeah, Sunday, we got up, we ate breakfast, we, oh, I forgot to mention, I think it was Saturday. I have this weird thing where my brain kind of knows when I'm at a convention, because it'll have me wake myself up on my own before the alarm goes off, like, you know, 1 to 2 hours before. So it's, like, way too early in the morning, and there's nothing for me to do.
Take a picture of me.
Okay.
Oh,
Abby. So.
Yay.
Aw. So,
I look like a dork, but Abby looks cute.
So, yeah. So, basically, I kind of woke myself up early on Saturday morning, and I had nothing to do. So, I went to their computer center, did a live journal entry, and then I got my...
Right on live journal?
Yeah. Just because it was the only thing I could think of doing, because I had a thought, because it basically was a thought that came out of the fact that I couldn't sleep. So,
yeah.
And it's something that Kyle will discuss with me on a future podcast once all the comic thing is done. That's another thing I should update people on. All right, so so let's see. The Teenage Comedian comics. Kyle has read them. Breakman Z has read them. Jared Perez has read them. The people who still need to read them are Carrie, Ken, Blasted Bill, and Sean Ennis.
I've technically read them, but it's been 6 years.
Yeah, so we're gonna try to get through everybody else as quickly as we can, because Kyle is very anxious to have this podcast discussion.
And Josh will probably... need to flip through them again because he didn't make any notes or anything.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Josh. Duh. Well, yeah. When I lend them to you for you to read them,
yeah.
You can have Josh read through them again and he can make his notes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Anyway, skipping ahead to Sunday. Set up. You know, sold stuff for a while and then did my show. And as always, Archon audiences are very cool. I really enjoy doing the Sunday show at Archon. People actually showed up like 20 minutes early for my set, so it was cool to, you know, see people there. They have a new speaker system there.
That was a quiet burp and a quiet hit.
So, so instead of having the big cool speakers like they always have, they had these teeny tiny speakers that were on the stage. I mean, they were adequate enough to get the job done, but I just kind of felt annoyed by the fact that they were so small and the music seemed so quiet to me. Sarah said it sounded fine to her, but
yeah.
I really, really, I mean, it sucks because I have no spare money, neither does Sarah, but I'm sick of, I want to have my own sound system and my own video projection system, because if I'm going to continue performing at conventions...
Well, the little sound system rig you have is workable.
Well, I don't want to have to tear apart my computer every time I go to perform at a con. I want to have a set of equipment that I can just... be my con equipment and grab it and take it with me and set it up and tear it down and all that stuff.
Could you run it off a netbook?
It's not a matter of the device I'm running the music off of. It's a matter of having speakers that are loud enough and, you know, mics and mic stands and a mixer and a video projector. And, you know, it's just getting a bunch of hardware that I don't own that costs money and I don't have money. So it's something, it's been on my to-do list forever, you know, to save the money to get one of those, and it seems like every time Sarah and I think we're out of the woods, we find out there's more expenses coming up in our life because of taxes or other bullshit, so,
yeah,
you know, it just sucks. So, I don't know, it may get to the point where I just decide to stop performing at conventions until I have my own setup like that, because I'm tired of going to cons, you know, and then... You know, I mean, it's not all cons. There's certainly many cons where you show up and they have a great sound system and people working hard to make you sound good. But it just happens, you know, often enough that it really annoys me when I show up somewhere and it's like, you know, I can deal with the fact that I'm performing in a, you know, a small hotel room,
yeah,
you know, full of people. But if on top of that, my sound system is something I makeshift put together with what few speakery, mixery things I happen to have laying around the house. It's like, I could at least have a professional, you know, sound system, you know, like what they have at Con and the Cob, or what they have had at the Con and the Cob.
Why don't you just make it a con requirement if you're going to perform there?
Because a lot of cons don't have stuff.
Yeah, well, you just said you're going to stop performing altogether. Why don't you just perform only at the ones that will promise to supply you?
Maybe I should, you know? I mean, I got Contraflow coming up. They're certainly going to provide, you know, adequate sound equipment. In fact, I found out that I think Lewis from the COG is providing some of it.
Just so, for any con that isn't, you know, I mean, just for almost any con from here on out that you haven't already committed to, just make that part of your, you know, requirements. I mean, you're not asking them to pay you for, in most cases, so
yeah.
I think having a decent sound system is not too much to ask for, and if they think it's too much to ask for, then don't go.
Yeah, but overall, just for my own personal use, I still want to have my own professional sound setup. You know, it's like we've joked often about, oh, we're going to have Fumpstock or Fumpfest or something and have it in my backyard or Carrie's backyard or something. Well, we need a sound system for that. I would love to have something like they have at Con and the Cob, like two decent speakers on stands and a mixer board and, you know, mics and something to plug my Zen Player or whatever into.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for the video part, I need a video projector or the Gossicles have, you know, and, you know, and a screen. So, you know, it's not like these are unattainable objects that you just need money to attain them, and I never have money. So, you know.
Problem with videos is that, you know, people are going to watch the video instead of watching you. And
well, I guess in my mind, I don't see that as such a bad thing.
Why?
I mean, when I go see Weird Al in concert, I'm always watching the videos. It's like if he's showing videos while he's performing, I'm typically looking at that and not at him. And it's the same goes for Devo Spice and the same goes for the Gossicles. And I don't see it. I don't feel like I'm being ripped off. You know, I just feel like this is part of the show. The multimedia is there to be watched. So if I did a show where I have videos showing while I'm performing the songs and people are mainly watching the videos, that doesn't bother me. As long as they're laughing, you know,
yeah,
and think it's an entertaining show.
You know, you're such a performer, though, you know, like when you have your mojo, you know, you own the stage, and I can't imagine wanting people to not look at you.
So I show up for my show about 20 minutes early. There's already people sitting there waiting to see the show, which is, you know, nice that they consider me that much of a priority that they want to show up early and get good seats.
Unlike Conception, where literally nobody's there at the start of the show, and they're like, come on, guys, let's go watch Luke ski. Come on.
Yeah. I had to kind of figure out on my own how the new speakery system worked, and there were two speakers, each with its own set of knobs, so I had to kind of play some background music and then walk back and forth between the two speakers to make sure that they were both equally ejecting sound from them. And then I got on the mic, had to figure out how to turn the mic all the way up, and I basically had to adjust the sound for each song as I was going along, but there wasn't a lot I could do. I pretty much had to turn my Zen Player volume up all the way, and, you know, the only time I turned it down a little was when there were songs like Snoopy the Dog with an excessive amount of bass, because those little speakers weren't really handled to be a subwoofer or whatever. So, you know, and I asked the audience, if anything sounds really bad, try to let me know between songs and I'll do what I can to adjust. Even though I really knew it, there probably wasn't much I could do to adjust. So there was only one time somebody said something sounded fuzzy, but overall it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did the show and, I sound checked by doing Serenity, which wasn't in my set list for the show. And the people who were there, you know, enjoyed it and clapped and stuff. So
cool.
Did the show. Afterwards, talked to some wonderful people. During the show, there were, you know, I was making callbacks to things that happened at previous Archon shows, and people were like getting the references to things. Like, there was one show where I had like a big You know, I wanted something to drink, so earlier I had gotten some kind of soda or something that was in a big styrofoam cup with a straw. So, like, I made some joke about, like, you know, it's like, you know, continue applauding so I can drink my thing. And I started drinking and they would applaud. And then I made some joke about, you know, now it's like a Pavlovian thing. Every time I take a drink, you're going to applaud. So
I was there.
Yeah, so I kept doing that bit. And then, so during my show, when I stopped and grabbed, I think I had gotten a Mountain Dew earlier that day because I felt low on energy. So during the show, at one point when I grabbed a Mountain Dew and started drinking it, people started applauding in the audience. And I'm like, yay, callbacks. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, after the show, sales weren't quite as hot. I mean, I made, you know, money at the con, but it was a significant percentage less than I was expecting to have made. And that kind of, you know, took me back a bit, like, wow, what the fuck? Usually I make X amount, now I've made, you know, less than X amount. And, you know, it was just, you know, with a new album out like this, it was really surprising. So, you know, not that I want to, you know, complain to the folks who were there and showed up. And, you know, they're, like I said, they're one of the awesomest audiences I perform for every year. But I just kind of was scratching my head like, well, why didn't as many people buy this album? Is it because they're not into
the economy,
Monty Python and Red Dwarf and Kevin Smith, you know? So I don't know. I was a little bit confused by that. I also, within the course of the show, I did like 5 rap songs. I often wonder if that has something to do with it, if people just don't like the rap music.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, that aside, I had a conversation with a woman after the show who has she lives somewhere in the state of Illinois. She said it was about probably a 3-hour drive away from Chicago, but she said her husband opened a bar that he calls the Cantina. So it's like a Star Wars-themed bar, and it's like it's like been his life dream to have a bar and call it the Cantina, and he just opened it recently. So she's like, do you have any Star Wars material? And I'm like,
do I have Star Wars material?
Yes. So I gave her my card. I kind of gave her a little bit of a spiel saying, like, well, if you can cover, you know, my, you know, basically it was, I basically said things are negotiable and we could probably work something out. I didn't want to say anything too specific because it would depend on what night of the week she wanted me there,
yeah,
what else I had going on in my life and blah, 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 blah. But overall, if she can cover my expenses and, you know, pay me a fee, because I doubt I'd make many merch sales at a gig like that, you know, I'd be
probably not.
I'd be willing to, you know, come out there and do a show. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, another situation where having my own sound system would be good, because I have no idea if a bar like that has a sound system. So
probably not.
Anyway. Then Sarah and I went to Ponderosa. And then we went back for closing ceremony so Sarah could say goodbye to some friends. And then we went home and we had the traditional Luke crashes and takes a nap for the first hour or two while Sarah drives. Which, mm-hmm. you know, seems to be what happens every year. I don't really mean for it to. I'm perfectly willing to drive, but it's kind of like the adrenaline, you know,
crash
after, you know, performing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me like, oh, it's time for a nap. So, yeah, but, you know, it is our con, and, you know, we have other cons coming up, so that will be fun. So I have successfully talked about the 3 events I performed at in the past.
Already?
Are there any other things you wanted to talk about?
No, do you want to put a song break here?
Sure. And then we'll do the end of the show stuff. So, right now, here is another song and or comedy track of some kind for you to listen to. Hooray!
Carmen Miranda's ghost is haunting Space Station 3. Half the staff has seen her, plus the portmaster and me. And if you think we've had too much of cookies, homemade rum, just tell me where those basket hats of fruit keep coming from. Don't go down the cargo bay when there's no shipping dock. You just might hear maracas black and get a nasty shock. And if you hear a rumba beat, don't pass the mess room door. You just might see a tangerine come rolling down the floor. we sometimes catch a glimpse of her by station night or day. But when we try to catch her, she just laughs and fades away. The station's chief air shrinker takes his notes and drains his cup. We get rotated often, but she still keeps showing up. We don't know why we're haunted here or why it's her that haunts. We've got a betting pool for all who wonder what she wants. The best odds say she likes the rhythm of the station's drive. They didn't have phase generators while she was alive. Carmen Miranda's ghost is haunting Space Station 3. Not that we're complaining, since the fresh fruit all comes free. But now and then we wonder what it means for the human race, that ghosts of generations past are taking off our space.
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah!
What's at the Fump?
Who?
What's at that Fump?
Oh, yeah!
So, here's what's at the Fump. Do you want to read this or you want me to read it? Because I'm closer.
You're closer.
All right. We Set the Dog on Fire by Robert Lund and Spaff.com. A Well-Dressed Hobbit by Mark Gunn. Romeo Responds to Taylor Swift by Money Shot Cosmonauts. Starstruck by Jesse Smith. Umbrella Chronicles Mary Digby as a Mofo version by Insane Ian.
Marie Digby, don't you think?
I guess. Hulkalele by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. I Have a Tuba by Kobe LaCroix, and My Face by Steve Goody. So that is what is at the Fump. Other things to plug. Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother by Cirque du Soleil is still a thing that you can buy if you haven't already. Go to thefump.com store to purchase that album.
THEFUMP.com.
Also, is my new
the
album...
The Fump should have a theme song like Dementia Radio has.
We'll have to talk about that at at future events.
That
would
be cool.
So, LukeSki.com store. You can get Be Amused By Me, my newest album, on CD and on MP3. Go to LukeSki.com for that. The Dr. Demento Show. Listen to it, and please, 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 please request the song Snoopy the Dog once a week.
Can he beg you more than he's begging you?
In fact, if you are listening to the show and you are not signed up for my emailing list, you can go to LukeSki.com and sign up for it, and that way you'll get the weekly reminder email to request Snoopy the Dog. I really want it to be the number one song this year. It would make me very happy. So please go there and request Snoopy the Dog. And also listen to the show, because Dr. Demento's show is awesome and the best show ever. Other things to be plugged are... as I've been talking about forever and ever, the Luke Ski Top 50 poll for 2011 is now live. You can vote for it.
Vote in it.
Vote in it. So, the website is mrpoll.com/polls/537028. It would probably be much easier for you just to go to LukeSki.com and click on the link from there. But the overall point of this is, of course, that it's been 2 years since I've done this poll, because now we have a new album full of material that I want to incorporate into the poll. All the new songs from Be Amused By Me that have come out since the last time we did the poll. So please go there, and it's really simple. It's a big, long list of my songs, all arranged chronologically by album. And if the song is a song you happen to consider a personal favorite of yours, you click on the checkbox, go down the entire page, you know, clicking away at the ones that are your personal favorites.
I think there's only two songs on Carpe Dementia that I didn't click. Fruit Loops and Macho Man Randy Savage song.
Cool. And you're allowed to do that. You can vote for as many as you want, but, you know, just, you know,
probably don't vote for every single one of them.
Yes.
Because that doesn't really help.
Yes. Try to be a bit discerning. So,
I was less discerning than usual.
Well, you know, the overall point of this is, and I even plugged it on the Fumps news feed, because the more recent the songs are, the less support they tend to get. So, you know, I want these Fump fans that didn't discover me until, you know, 2007 or later to show support for the songs of the past few years of my career that they really like,
mm-hmm.
so that they can get, you know, a fair shot. Because the last album, the highest ranking song from Too Much Stuff was Spock Star, I believe, which was number 9. And there were a few others from that album that made the list, but not nearly as many as I was hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping a bunch from Be Amused By Me make it. So, yeah. Anyway, like I said, lukeski.com, click on the link there and please vote. I'm going to keep the polls open until Tuesday, October 11th. After that, I will close the poll, tabulate stuff, and as soon as me and Sarah have the time to work it out and, you know, post it, we will update the top 50 on my website. So
he said poll.
So tour dates coming up. Con and the Cob 2011. Website is conandthecob.com/music.html at the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center in Hudson, Ohio, which is the Cleveland Akron area.
And guess who's going to be there that's also in this podcast?
Who?
Me.
Oh my God, Carrie Dalby
is the
pinkest artist who will be there.
I won't show up till Saturday, which means I miss a lot of good shows on Friday, but... Yeah. Such is life.
Yes. So performing this year in the Shoebox Chair to Comedy Music Extravagasm is Music Guest of Honor, Carla Ulbrich, The Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Power Salad, Cirque du Soleil, What, Carrie Dalby, Insane Ian, Rob Balder, Positude, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Soggy Potato Chips, Max DeGroot, Durwood Bowen, Shy Show, and more. Also, it's the first annual Logan Awards, which will be held there. That was a dumb sentence. The Logan Awards are going to be there. First ever. The Logan Whitehurst Memorial Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music. My song, It's Good to Be the King, was nominated for Outstanding Parody Song of 2010.
Yay.
Now let's, for a moment, discuss the significance of that. I came to you, the listeners of Bad Rapport, you, and said, here's a bunch of song ideas. Which of these song ideas do you want me to make real? And you all raised and said... The third most idea we want is It's Good to Be the King. And I said, all right, I will make that song first. And you said, what? And I said, shut up. And then I made it. And then people liked it. And Dr. Demento had it be number one on the top 10 out of nowhere.
Yeah.
On the funny.
When it had just barely come out.
Yes. And it made the funny 25 countdown. And many people have told me how much they like this song. Well, apparently enough people, including members of the 7-person jury, which includes... Will Frank, Danny Burt, Austin Eichelman, Jay Kitty, Whimsical Will, Dr. Demento, and Weird Al Yankovic. Between those 7, enough of them liked that song enough that it ended up in the top 5 for nominees for Outstanding Parody Song of 2010. So thank you to you Bad Rapport listeners for talking me into making that song. Thank you to the jury out there, if anyone's listening, for picking that song. I'm really honored. I hope I win. I probably won't, considering the songs I'm up against, because they're all really good songs, and but I'm really honored that I was nominated. So
I'm proud of Insane Ian for getting on there,
mm-hmm.
and Kobe LaCroix and Max DeGroot.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. They all got up on there.
Worm Quartet?
Well, yeah, but, you know, Worm Quartet, he's like Worm Quartet. So I was just, you know, proud of the more underdogs that got up on there. And I was disappointed that Flat 29 song... you're an old lady who used to be hot.
And one that we all completely went over our heads and forgot about, Rap Guide to the Orchestra. We totally forgot that came out in 2010. So
yeah, I mean I should have
that should have made the suggestion list too, but
I mean, to me, you're an old lady who used to be hot is even better.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm shocked that it didn't get up there, honestly.
Well, you know, there will be more years, and they're putting out a new album sometime in the near future. Yeah. So I'm anyway. So
I thought maybe that, you know, the somebody somewhere along the line vetoed the idea because they didn't want to ship the award to overseas.
I had this thought, and well, okay, basically each award statuette, you know, it's like each song gets an award. So let's say hypothetically, to use myself as an example, because there's a lot of cross-collaboration that happens in the dementia scene. What if next year Sneaking Snacks into the Cinema wins for Best Original Song? So which one of the three of us
gets the statue? You have to give it to Dan, because it was his idea.
Yes.
And he did most of the work.
Yes. But I think we should try to set a precedent that if you win an award that's a collaborative thing, that people should be allowed to pay to get their own statuettes if they honestly earned them, so that, you know, it would cost money, but, you know, screw it. If that song won and we gave the main trophy to Dan, as he does deserve to get it.
That song's not even going to get on the list.
What are you talking about?
As much as I love it, I feel confident that it's unlikely to get on the list.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. It's the best song of the year, of this year. What else was I going to say? I forgot. Oh, well.
Anyway, LoganAwards.com if you want to read the full list of who all the actual nominees are.
Like, what happens if fucking Lonely Island wins?
I don't know.
Does anyone know how to get them a statuette? Really?
I am Facebook friends with Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live because he and I used to do improv comedy together in Kansas City.
Really?
Yes. So the thought crossed my mind that, you know, even though I haven't really, I Facebook friended him, he friended me back. We haven't had any discussions since then. I've seen him in many movies like Horrible Bosses and Hall Pass, and he's on he's on the Cleveland Show. You know, and he's on Saturday Night Live. So it'll be kind of weird for me to Facebook message him and be like, hey, this is Luke. I know we haven't talked in years, but, you know, is there any way you could help me, you know, mail a thing to, you know, the guys from Lonely Island so that it actually gets to them instead of gets stuck in, like, the mail room at 30 Rock collecting dust? So, I don't know.
I suppose in theory Al could probably help, but I'm not sure if he would. You know, I mean, I'm sure he could, but he might kind of feel like, okay, I've done my part for this, and now I'm done with this.
Yeah.
You know.
So, anyway. All right, so I suppose...
I should have called them The Lonely Island. I keep just saying Lonely Island.
NerdPow 2011 is... the website for that is nerdpow.com. They are at the Hyatt Regency Columbus, Ohio, October 28th through 30th, 2011. Basically, it's sort of a Nerdapalooza type of thing. It's nerdcore... hip-hop and music, and also video games and other gaming happening over a 3-day event at the same hotel where MarCon happens. So I'll be performing on Friday night at 7 p.m. I'll have a merch table there. Also performing will be Dualcore, my parents' favorite music, The Amazing Brando, MC Cool Whip, and a whole bunch more. DJ spinning tunes, video game tournaments, costume contests, lots of other stuff. So if you are in the Columbus area, out. And just for the hell of it, I'm going to go over to tour dates and mention ContraFlow 2011, because I already mentioned it at least once. ContraFlowSciFi.org. That's ContraFlowSciFi.org. At the Clarion in New Orleans West Bank in Gretna, Louisiana, which obviously is a suburb of New Orleans.
I hate you.
November 4th through 6th, 2011. I am their musical guest of honor, and I'll be doing a concert there and being the judging time entertainment of their masquerade. We're still figuring out the exact show times. I'll also have a table in the dealer room. I'll also be going with Sarah to eat beignets and walk down Bourbon Street.
Have I mentioned hating you lately? I haven't been to New Orleans in 8 years. Nine.
But I took you to the conception.
Oh, in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Oh. But you didn't pay for my pot belly.
Yeah, that's true. I will pay for things in various ways. Oh, and as long as I'm here. WindyCon 38, WindyCon.org, Weston Lombard, Yorktown Center, Lombard, Illinois, suburb of Chicago.
Where it was last year, and the year before.
November 11th through 13th, 2011. I will be doing a FUMP concert on Sunday from noon to 2 with the likes of Tom Smith, Possible Oscar, Carrie Dalby, and maybe others, depending on who all shows up.
Yes, I'm officially for sure. I don't even have to worry about church because the choir's not called that weekend, so.
Okay.
Josh and I are gonna get passes, and we're gonna try to, like, be real con attendees for, like, the actual whole weekend rather than just making an appearance like the last couple of years.
Cool. I'm probably gonna end up drawing and then showing up late on Friday and Saturday, but then I'll be there for Sunday. Well, it depends on other things. I'm trying to.
Well, that's because you work weekends and we work weekdays.
So, yeah. Hey, what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
I'm wearing a black maternity t-shirt that says, what does it say?
It says, geek inside.
And where does it say it?
Right on your belly where a baby would be. So it's like...
Where a baby is.
Where a baby is. Well, no, technically a fetus is there now. It'll be a baby eventually. If you're going to raise a geek, you need to make these delineations so that he doesn't sound ignorant.
He? How do you know it's he? We don't know the gender yet.
Oh, okay. He, she, it.
And it says, what logo is this imitating?
It's meant to be an impersonation of the Intel logo.
Yes.
So, geek inside.
Yes.
And, but you have a pink thing on your wrist and on your neck.
Oh, there's always pink somewhere.
Okay. I don't have any ignorant stories for caricatures because I haven't done caricatures in the past 2 weeks. So, other than I could mention this because I mentioned it on Chris Mezzalesta's Facebook page because it reminded me of, you know, how he's always tweeting about, you know, voiceover people don't get, people who are willing to work for nothing, you know, or for very little, you know, get a professional person with experience to do your voiceovers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, and he makes a very valid point. Well, there was this woman who was going to book me for a bar mitzvah that was going to be the same weekend as Con and the Cob. And just due to me always wanting to make as much money as I can to try to make a living, I was entertaining the notion of trying to do this caricature gig and, you know, which would be Saturday, you know, afternoon, and then getting a flight out to Con and the Cob so I can get there in time for the Logan Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to her about drawing at that bar mitzvah, and I was also, she was talking to me on the phone about, you know, trying to figure out something to do with centerpieces for her son, because she wanted to do like something that was like caricature drawings of him doing different things as centerpieces, but she wasn't sure how to pull it off. So I then described for her the centerpieces that me and Sarah made for our wedding that were three-sided, where one side, you know, was two sides were a real movie poster. The third side was the cartoon image that had to do with it. And then, you know,
yeah,
but basically kind of helped her solve her problem by describing what me and Sarah did. And then I said to her, well, I'll have to get back to you to see if I can work out this thing where I could do both. And that was around the time I was finishing up the album and going to Gen Con. So I kind of dropped off the radar for a couple weeks. Then I got back to her and I'm like, okay, so, you know, what's up with all this whole project and everything? So she told me that, oh, I hadn't heard from you, so we decided to book different entertainment for the event. And also, I found somebody else to do the caricature art for those centerpieces at Fiverr.com. And from what I've been led to understand, Fiverr.com is a website where people go
$5.
Where they'll do whatever for $5 or sell you something for $5. So that's the thing that Chris always complains about. People are like, I'll do voiceover work for $5, you know. So apparently somebody's like, I'll do caricatures for $5, which is ironic because my basic caricature is also $5.
Yes.
It wouldn't have cost her any, you know, more to have done those art, pieces of artwork through me.
Yeah.
You know, so so yeah, just the fact that, you know, and I don't know why she even told me that bit of information unless she was trying to, like, impart onto me, like, well, if you had gotten back to me sooner, you could have gotten this job, but since you didn't, I went with this other company. So it's like...
It depends on the person. You know, she could have had innocent intentions telling you.
Yeah, so I just kind of... So, I mean, I'm glad that I'm going to Con of the Cop for the whole weekend, but I thought it was kind of... Like, okay, so you basically took my idea and ran with it and got somebody cheaper than me to do it, you know, even... So, I don't know. I just thought, like, that's really not classy, but... whatever. All right, so let's move on to comments. And so...
Here, I'll read the first one.
Okay. It's actually two comments I made into one comment because they were from the same person.
Yes.
So.
Captain Nova says, Carrie, I think it's cool that you tried your hand at writing... I tried my hand at writing science fiction. I had a story about a guy that made a device that could view into the future. He could only see 2 hours ahead because the device caused a power outage, turning the machine off because a window to view in the future cause is window to view into the future to be limited. Luke and Carrie, if the doctor came and let you take a trip in his TARDIS, where and when would you go?
Two places I would go to find Jim Henson so that I could, you know, give him some chicken soup and a blanket so that he wouldn't die of pneumonia. And number two, I would go watch a live concert by Spike Jonze and the City Slickers.
I think I would go watch the... this is kind of off of the top of my head, but I think I would go to wherever the fuck it was, London or Liverpool, to view the last ever concert of the Beatles, which was on a rooftop, and about 20 people were watching, which I'm sure all of you know about, but that's where I would go. I would go see that.
Ah.
Maybe I would somehow get on the roof with them.
Actually, in the most recent episode of Doctor Who is in his TARDIS having an argument with another character. And, you know, he's basically being like, you know, I have a time machine, you know, kind of being indignant to the other person. I have a time machine. I can do whatever I want. I can go help Rose Tyler with her homework. I can go be the fifth Beatle. I can, you know, and so he just kind of threw out that reference, which I thought was nice. Next comment. Number 11 says, elementary school, quote, creative writing, quote, exercises made me hate writing, especially the read it in front of the class part. Well,
some people are really shy about reading in front of the class. Orange says, Luke, I've been listening to this podcast off and on since Gen Con last year, when you mentioned it either at your table or at your concert. Your account about Gen Con and the people who leave during your show is really depressing, so I thought I'd share this small tidbit. My mom went to Gen Con years ago and returned completely enamored by your show at the costume contest. She bought a CD and shared it with me, and we were greatly amused. Look, you amused someone.
Yay.
Since then, we've spent consecutive years collecting your CDs at the convention. I just thought I'd let you know that you reached at least two new fans through your performances at Indianapolis. We didn't buy CDs straight after the contest last year because I was too busy chasing down my favorite contestants to get pictures of, but we made sure to drop by for the concert and complete our collection. We even picked up one of Carrie's albums, since that was my first time my mom had ever heard any of Carrie's singing. Thank you. I think you guys are great, and it's a treat to hear Luke's newest songs at the con. I'm bummed I missed this year, but here's to making it to Indy next year, smiley face.
Well, thank you very much, Orange. That makes me feel much better.
And that's his favorite color.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, you know, obviously, because I do so much bitching and whining and complaining on this podcast, I mean, things do get me down sometimes, but, you know, it's like, you know...
We're entitled little brats, the two of us.
But, you know, it's like, that's why I'm always, you know, trying to get back to these cons or these cities every year. It's like, you know, I don't want to stop performing at Gen Con because I know that there's, you know, at least some group of people there that would be bummed out if I wasn't there, you know.
And there'd be no point in ever making another bad rapport compilation if you didn't keep going to Gen Con, because that's when you finally made a killing on those.
I didn't make a killing, but I sold more copies of that thing at Gen Con than I did any other place. I still have less than 10 left after Archon, so we'll see.
Well, that's right, we only got 50. I kept thinking we got 100 of them.
No.
Yeah, oh well.
So, but I mean, you know, the stupid cowboy thing... You know, I bought like 14 copies of that, expecting to sell them all out at Archon, and I think I only sold like 5 of them.
Yeah.
So.
Bummer.
I don't know. Once again, it might be the economy. I don't know.
It really might be.
Although I did get people who complimented me on Cirque du Soleil, who said that they got the album last year and that they really enjoyed it. So.
I mean, there's just a lot less, you know, frivolous spending, and unfortunately, music CDs counts as frivolous. Yeah.
And it's like, even I was thinking about that as I was like walking. Like I finally got a chance because Sarah was there to walk around and check out the dealer room and some of the other people in Artist Alley selling stuff. And I remember when I first went to conventions, it was like buying stuff at the con was a definite and important part of my con experience, whether I was performing or not. I had to buy something from the dealer room, some merch or some action figures or something. It's like, I always had to, you know, it was never a question of, you know, should I buy something or not? It's what am I going to buy?
Yeah.
You know, and it's been such a long time since I've bought much of anything. And in fact, this year I looked around, the only thing I thought I might buy was somebody who had a bunch of DVDs had a copy of the Beauty and the Beast DVD Blu-ray combo pack for like $20, and I'm like, well, you know,
It was like $30 at Target.
Yeah,
I wanted it, but I was like, no way, $30 is ridiculous.
I should have bought it, but I didn't.
I would have bought it off you.
So, because unfortunately, Stephanie got Beauty and the Beast and the divorced, so I got Aladdin and the Lion King. So.
Well, if we get through this show quickly, then we can watch The Nerdist.
All right.
If we get through quickly.
We got one more comment. Bar One Scorpio says, Carrie, if you're going to drop one stupid leftist cliche for New Year's, it's this. Do not feel guilty about having kids. You're not irresponsibly overpopulating the world if you can actually afford to raise your child. You're actually doing your part. Remember the beginning of the movie Idiocracy? How the intelligent people never had babies while the stupid people spat out little welfare recipients in droves? Yeah, you're just stemming that moron tide. Thank you for your valiant efforts. Sure, maybe if the smart finally outbred the stupid, Luke Ski will find his line at the caricature stand halved, but his stomach lining will be ever so grateful as the ulcers recede. In fact, take it a step further. Adopt about 20 kids in a row to counter Michelle Bachmann's damage. Send out a platoon of kids who grew up learning about science from They Might Be Giants and not from the Veggie Tales.
It's one of the most insulting compliments I've ever heard. I'm not having kids to stem the tide of morons. I'm having kids because I've always wanted to be a mom, and I've got the right guy to have kids with, and he's going to be a great dad, and it's a very personal thing. And I don't feel guilty about having a kid. I don't think I'm going to have more than one kid intentionally, anyways. I'd like to adopt another kid, but this is partially because of my stupid leftist cliche beliefs, and partially just because I don't think I would want to go through it a second time, pregnancy and all that. So, yeah, that's that. So, what is Arkel?
Here's a voice comment from Arkel.
Hey, Arkel.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, it's Arkel. Okay, hopefully this voicemail actually gets played. Just hearing Carrie talk about the writing she did as a kid, and it just kind of got me thinking about my own writing and how I've kind of fallen back on it lately. I really do need to get back into it. I mean, I've done NaNoWriMo every year for the past 4 years, and I intend to do it again this year, but apart from that, I haven't really done much. I still need to do some editing on last year's project, but it's funny hearing her talk about those stories because it reminded me of a story that I wrote a couple of years ago, and I actually completed it with NaNoWriMo, but I ended up not doing it because, well, long story short, it turns out formaldehyde doesn't really work that way. I just couldn't make it work, so I had to trunk it, and losing the flash drive that it was on and having the copy of the file I sent to my best friend after finishing it get corrupted and unreadable certainly didn't help. All I have left are the three first draft chapters I posted on a writing workshop forum. But, it was kind of a zombie cop story called Night of the Living Impaired. And I'm sharing this with you because I think you guys will get a kick out of this. Basically, the premise is a cop gets killed in the line of duty, but the wrong guy ends up going to death row for the crime, right? And so the cop doesn't... the cop obviously doesn't take kindly to this, so he does the only thing he can do. He comes back as a zombie. I even had this great tagline for the cover in my head. I just picture the cover art of, like, you know, kind of your standard Romero-looking zombie, but he's, like, you know, holding a gun in one hand and a badge in the other, and the tagline was going to be, this zombie's not out for brains, he's out for justice. Yes, something silly like that, but, Yeah, and of course, I know Luke will definitely get a kick out of this one. The very first chapter, because the story is told in first person from the point of view of this cop who comes back as a zombie, and he's explaining, you know, how he got to where he's at, you know, him being killed and then him coming back and the trial and the wrong guy being on death row and all that. And the title of the first chapter, oh, I forgot to mention, the novel was called Night of the Living Impaired. And the first chapter title... was Nobody Expects the Zombie Exposition. Yeah, I thought you guys might get a kick out of that. But Maybe I'll include those three chapters as like a little bonus in this nonfiction book I'm working on right now called No Meat, No God, No Kesha.
Yeah, I caught it both times. Night of the Living Impaired is a great title. Keep writing, damn it. Even if you can't get yourself to do it as often as you should, that doesn't mean give up. Just if all you do is that one yearly thing, then do that one yearly thing. You know, just I know from, you know, the times in my life when I wasn't singing operatic or choir music for very long that, you know, you just have to do it, and if you don't do it as much as you should, fine, at least you're doing it. Anyways, if we're gonna watch Nerdist, we really gotta wrap it up.
Okay, I was trying to get to Twitter because I know somebody tweeted about Bad Rapport.
Oh yeah,
it was Eclectic Lee.
He said, "I came for something."
He said, "Bad Rapport. I came for the two new Lukeski tracks, and I stayed for details on Carrie Dalby's sex life." So, I hope you all enjoyed that.
We couldn't read it word for word because you got the fail whale.
Yes.
So, shall we wrap her up?
All right, let's wrap this up.
Slap a bow on her.
Yep. Thank you for tuning in for this completely unmomentous episode 50 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hey, the next episode, I very well may know the gender of my fetus.
So start placing bets and suggesting baby names.
No, I don't want your baby name suggestions.
Send those baby name suggestions to badrapport@gmail.com.
Luckily, Luke's the one who checks that, so you can tell Sarah what suggestions you got.
Yes. All right, so until next time, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And thank you for listening to this thing.
Yeah.
No sweet and pure angelic lass for me. That kind of gal can spin a web, you see. She trades on wholesome innocence galore. But it's my independence that she's trading for. The only affirmative she will file refers to marching down the aisle. No golden, glorious, gleaming, pristine goddess. No, sir, for no Diana do I play for, and I can tell you that right now. I snarl, I hiss, how can ignorance be compared to bliss? I spark, I fizz, for the lady who knows what time it is. I cheer, I rave, for the virtue I'm too late to save. The sadder but wiser girl for me. No bright-eyed, blushing, breathless baby doll baby. No, sir, that kind of child ties knots. No sailor ever knew. I prefer to take a chance on a more adult romance. No dewy young miss who keeps resisting. All the time she keeps insisting. No wide-eyed, wholesome, innocent female. Why, she's the fisherman, I'm the fish, you'll see. I flinch, I shy, when the lass with a delicate air goes by. I smile, I grin, when the gal with a touch of sin walks in. I hope and I pray for Hester to win just one more A. The sadder but wiser girl for me. Giggling ice cream soda drinker, out to hook you line and sinker. No honey-throated beckoning siren. I plug my ears and I grab my oars and I flee. I cheer, I poo at the Puritan-hearted ingenue. I yearn, I long for the woman whose pop says what went wrong. I root and I clap for the dame in the gownless evening strap. The sadder but wiser girl's the girl for me. The sadder but wiser girl for me.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Send an APB to the Burbank cops. There's a thief made of cinnamon and lemon drops. He's covered in fur from his nose to his feet. He's a crazy kiss demanded of Lincoln Street.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.